You'd open your Bibles with me to the book of Galatians, chapter 5. Galatians, chapter 5. This morning we're going to be looking at verses 16 through 18 in Galatians, chapter 5. But we'll begin reading in verse 13 and read through verse 26, the end of chapter 5. As we approach God's Word, let us first approach Him in prayer. Not as simply something that we do, but because we understand that we are approaching the holy Word of God and that we cannot understand the Word of God unless He gives us by His Spirit the ability to do so. And so let's ask His blessing upon the reading and preaching of His Word. Our God, we come to You hungry to feed upon Your Word, to hear from You the voice of the living God. And we know that, God, it requires Your Spirit for us to hear and to heed Your Word. And so now we pray that You would bless this time of hearing Your Word, of the preaching of Your Word. I ask that You would grant me Your Spirit and give me all that is necessary to faithfully proclaim Your Word as You have laid it down without error, perfect in every way. And now we ask it, God, for Your glory. In the name of Christ, amen. Beginning then in Galatians chapter 5, verse 13, hear now the word of God. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Thus far the reading of God's holy word. Now I want to talk to the children for a moment. And I want to ask this question to them. Have you ever been sick? I see some hands. So you've been sick, and when you're sick, what happens to your bodies often? You get a fever, don't you? If you have a cold or the flu, you have a fever in your body. And is having this fever a fun thing? It's not, is it? No, it's unpleasant. In fact, you feel like you're burning up. Your parents may take your temperature and you have 100, 101, 102, and your body is weak. But I would submit to you that this is a good thing. Because when you have a fever, it tells you that something is going on in your body, which is ultimately going to be for your good. Because what is happening in your body during that time is that your body is fighting an infection. There are antibodies that are being released in your body to fight against whatever virus it is that is attacking you. And so when you have a fever, you might be thankful that you have a fever. Because I can tell you the one type of person that doesn't have a fever. And that's a dead person. A dead person never gets a fever. Now, I'm sure you don't want to be a dead person, so it's good that you have a fever. It tells you you're alive and that your body is fighting. But as we come to this passage, we're going to see that there is a war inside your body spiritually. Much like the war that goes on in your body when you have a fever. It's not pleasant, but it's a good thing because it tells you that you're alive. You see, only believers face this war because unbelievers are dead in their sins and trespasses. They don't have a struggle within them. But believers face this struggle, this war, as it were, in their own body. Now, when you're fighting a war, or when you want to win a war, you need to know a few things. You need to know, first of all, that you're in a war. If you don't realize you're in a war, well, you're not going to do anything about it. You need to know who your enemy is, who it is you're fighting, what are their strengths, what are their weaknesses. And you need to know how to fight. You need to know these things. And I wonder if each of you realizes that you have a war going on right now within you. You have an internal war. Right now, every day, you have a war between what Paul calls your flesh, or your sinful nature, and the Spirit working on you. And then as you think about this, do you know who's winning this war? Who is winning this internal war in you? Now, Paul is speaking to the churches in Galatia here, and he is, in verses 13 through 15, told them, now that they're called to liberty, not to use their liberty to indulge themselves, but to serve one another. And he warns them in verse 15 against biting and devouring one another, and that they ought to beware lest they be consumed by one another. Now the Galatians may have responded, well, Paul, this is great. Yes, we shouldn't bite one another. Yes, we shouldn't consume one another. We shouldn't devour one another. But how in the world do we do this? We're sinners. This is somewhat in our sinful nature to bite and to devour and to consume. How is it, Paul, that we are going to stop fulfilling the lust of the flesh? And that's what Paul is going to bring up here as he walks us right into verse 16. He gives us, as it were, the remedy: walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. But I want you to see, as we look at this, this is not easy. This is not easy at all. It is difficult. It is a war. You must recognize that you're in a war. You must recognize that this is going to be a difficult war. And you must recognize that there are going to be casualties in this war. But there's hope. Because ultimately this war has been won. And we will see the victory. So as we look at this, understand that the Christian life is a constant war against our own sinful nature. The Christian life is a constant war against our own sinful nature. And as we look at this war, we'll see the reality of this war, the reality of the enemy we have, the resistance in this war, how it is that Paul says, here's how you resist, and then how does this war end? What is the resolution of this war? Well, let's look first in verse 17. Now, I'm skipping over 16 to look at verse 17 and see the reality of this war, and then we'll come back to verse 16 as we look at the resistance of this war. In verse 17, Paul tells us this: the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. So there are two realities that I want to draw your attention to in this war. The first is that we have an enemy in this war. That's the first reality. We have an enemy, and Paul identifies that enemy here as the flesh. Now, by the flesh, this word couldn't be used in places to speak of the physical body. But here, Paul is using it to speak of the sinful nature. The sinful nature that everyone still has within them. That is the enemy that Paul is pointing us to here. And this enemy is with us all the time. Perhaps you've heard that the three great enemies of a Christian are the world, the flesh, and the devil. And that is true. But the world can be shut out. The devil is a created being and cannot be everywhere present. But your flesh is always with you. It's an internal enemy. And this is a determined enemy. Look, Paul says it's the flesh lusts against the Spirit. Lusts. This word translated lust is desires. Seeks as its ultimate goal for you to sin. For you not to walk according to the Spirit. If you remember in Genesis chapter 4, as Cain is angry with Abel, what does God say to him? Sin desires you. Sin desires to have you. But you must overcome it. That's the desire of sin, and especially that desire of sin for the believer. The flesh desires to control you. And this is a contrary enemy, contrary to the Spirit working in us. Lust against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh, and these two are contrary to one another. Now here's the reality. You're going to get marching orders from your flesh all the time. Think of it as a captain in the army. Do this. Do this. Do this. Hate that person. Lie to that person. Fear this event. Don't go to church. You're going to get those commands. So don't be surprised when your flesh wells up in you and seeks to push you in that direction. But what we have here in Paul's letter to the Galatians is a distinction between the flesh and the spirit. Now, by spirit, Paul is talking about the Holy Spirit, the spirit that controls a believer. And so this is really a war between the natural birth and the supernatural birth, or the natural birth and the new birth. You've been born again, Jesus says, if you see the kingdom in John chapter 3. But there's a war going on here because you're not rid of that sinful nature right at the time of regeneration. And so know that there is a war going on. Bunyan, John Bunyan, talks about it in his book, The Holy War. He says that Satan and Christ are longing for possession of the city of man. In this allegory, he talks about the city of man being the heart of man. And here we have Paul saying that the flesh is lusting against the spirit. And the war is going on inside you. So the first reality is that we have an enemy. The second reality, though, is that we will suffer casualties in this war. Notice what Paul says. They are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. That's an interesting statement. You do not do the things that you wish. Paul here doesn't say they're contrary to one another, so therefore you might not do the things that you wish. But he says you do not do the things that you wish. You sin. You sin. And this is a great corrective against a perfectionist tendency. That somehow believers don't sin anymore. No. Here Paul says, you're going to do the things that you don't want to do. And the battle here is between the will and the deed. Christians are not going to will to do things that are contrary to the Word of God. And yet Paul says here, you're going to do it. It's going to happen because the flesh is warring against the Spirit. Now this is not an excuse for our sin. Not at all. But it is an explanation of it. In fact, here Paul says, you're going to practice what you take no delight in. And I think that if you search your heart, you know this is true. How many times have you done something and said, why did I do that? I didn't even want to do that. That wasn't my will to do that, and yet I did it. And perhaps that sin crops up again and again and again in your life. And you feel like you're playing spiritual whack-a-mole. If you know what whack-a-mole is, you hit one and another one comes up and you hit it and another one comes up and you say, why am I doing this? But you see, your will is opposed to it. You don't want to do it and yet you do it. Now, I think there's a great comfort here for the people of God. And the comfort is this. That godly people do not love God as they ought. That godly people do not believe in God as strongly as they ought. That godly people sometimes doubt that God cares for them. That godly people get angry and impatient with God. Now, by godly people here, I mean those who are truly regenerate, those who are believers, and yet the sinful nature wells up in us. You and I, we're going to be offended by others. And we're going to offend others. We're going to see others and say, I don't like this about them. And others are going to see us and say, I don't like this about you. That's going to well up inside us. And so it shouldn't surprise us when it does. But I think we have a wrong picture of a Christian when we think that a Christian is holier than thou, that a Christian never struggles with any sin. That can't be the truth. Paul says it here. In fact, the danger is that we come in and we look around at everybody here. And we say, you know, I bet that everyone here reads their Bible 3 hours a day. And I bet that everyone here prays 4 hours a day. And I bet that when they're done with that, they're going out and they're giving their time to good causes. And yet I struggle to read my Bible at all. I struggle to pray. And when I do, I feel cold and not close to God. What's wrong with me? But Paul says here, the reality is that you're in a war. And all of you are struggling in it. And we have seasons when we have certain victories and others. But know that you are in a war and that there are going to be casualties in that war. Luther, in speaking of this, says that Christians aren't stones unaffected by anything. We're people, flesh and blood, and sinners at that. We're going to be affected by these things. So know that there is a real war going on, and the battlefield is inside you, in your soul, and your sinful nature hates the fact that it's on its way out. Your sinful nature hates the fact that you're being sanctified and will stop at nothing to halt the process. You have an enemy. But then as we look at verse 16, Paul tells us there's a resistance in this war. He says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Here Paul gives us the opposite marching orders. Your flesh is going to tell you to do these things. Your sinful nature is going to tell you to do these things. But walk in the Spirit. Listen to the marching orders that God gives you. The Spirit is the captain leading God's people into battle. Now what does it mean to walk in the Spirit? The word translated as walk here is in the present tense. Continue walking in the Spirit. Remember, your sinful nature is not going to take a break. And so you need to continually be walking in the Spirit. Now, walking in the Spirit here has to do with practicing habitual holiness. Practicing habitual holiness. Making these things a habit in your life. But how do we know what holiness is? Well, we know it by the Word of God. And so we need to pattern our lives after the Word of God, which is why it is important to know the Word of God. And Paul gives us great encouragement here. He says, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The Greek here has two negatives right next to each other, two no's. It's a double negative and it's an intense negative. You shall not, you will not. When you are walking in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, this does not mean that you'll never sin. This does not mean that there will not be times where you struggle. But what Paul is saying here is that when you are actively pursuing and practicing and making these things a habit in your life, then at that time, you will not be fulfilling the lust of the flesh or the lust of your sinful nature. And I think this brings great joy to every Christian. It brings great joy to me to know, one, that we are going to struggle with sin. But to know that God has given us a way in which we can strive against sin. And this is a wonderful opportunity. There is not going to be a day in your life where you're not going to be able to use this. Because your flesh is going to lust against you. But you can rejoice. When that sin comes, you say, this is an opportunity. I have an opportunity here to walk in the Spirit. I have an opportunity here to follow the marching orders of my Savior. To by His grace put the deeds of the flesh to death. What a great opportunity that is. Remember the analogy of having a fever. It doesn't feel good, but it's a good thing. So it is, you're tempted, you're struggling with sin, it doesn't feel good, but it's a good thing because it's sanctifying you. So here's the formula for the Christian life. Practice habitual holiness according to the pattern of God's Word, and you will not practice habitual sin. Practice habitual holiness according to the pattern of God's Word, and you will not practice habitual sin. But how do we do this? How can we do this? And we can't do it on our own. We need the help of God, of course. We need the help of His Spirit. We need the help of Christ. And so Paul goes on in verse 18 to talk about those who are led by the Spirit and stresses this point. If you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. This is the resolution of this war. You see, this is an internal war, but it's not an eternal war. We will have victory in this. Not in this life, but we will have victory in the end. Now he says here, if you are led by the Spirit. I want to make this point. You cannot be led by the Spirit if you have not been led to Christ, because that's where the Spirit primarily leads you. You see, the Spirit does not come to glorify Himself, but the Spirit comes to point to Christ. Now, I don't know any of your hearts. I can't see your hearts, but I know that you have a sin problem. And I know from God's Word that the only solution to that sin problem is the Lord Jesus Christ, is His life and His work upon the cross. And through the preaching of the Word, it is God's Spirit that leads people to Christ. And so maybe right now, God is leading you to Christ. And you know what Christ says? He says, come, all who are weary, come to me. God says, I will not cast you out. So that's the call of the gospel. Come to Christ. Be led to Christ. Find in Christ forgiveness of sins and eternal life. But when you are led to Christ, then you are led by the Spirit of Christ. When you think about the earthly life of Christ, there is a demonstration of the only human who has ever been led perfectly by the Spirit. The Lord Jesus Christ. And when you think about this internal war, think about the war that Jesus didn't have internally. He had no sin, but that He fought in the wilderness against temptation. He used the Word of God against the assault of the devil. And who won? The Lord Jesus Christ. And so if you and I are being led by the Spirit of Christ, we know that we are being led to victory because Christ has had the victory. But what does it mean to be led by the Spirit? Well, what it doesn't mean is that somehow the Spirit just points out the direction to us. Like a guide who says, now the direction over these mountains, if you take the Rocky Mountains, the direction to the west is through this path, go that way. And then we're on our own. That's not being led by the Spirit. But it's also not the Spirit, as it were, carrying us. Now, this past week I went to the store with my family. My youngest Ethan was with me, and you parents can probably relate to this. We're walking out of the store, and I'm holding his hand. I'm leading him. And yet, all of a sudden, I feel dead weight. What's happened? His feet have gone out from under him, and now I have a choice. Either I pick him up, or I just drag him to the car. Well, I didn't do either. He wanted me probably to pick him up. Pick me up, pick me up. I said, no, you're going to walk. Now, the Spirit doesn't drag us, kicking and screaming. The Spirit doesn't pick us up and carry us, but the Spirit leads us. Like I would lead my son. He's walking, but I'm guiding him safely through that parking lot. And so too the Spirit with us guides us and leads us. And so this guards against two things. The idea that it's all us, it's all up to us, it's what we do. And the idea that somehow it doesn't matter what we do because the Spirit's just going to scoop us up and pick us up and carry us. No, we walk, but we're led. A great picture of this is found in the Gospels. Luke 18:40, I won't turn there, but there's a blind man who is seeking Jesus to be healed. But he's blind, he can't find Jesus. And those who are there go and they take him by the hand and they lead him to Jesus. Now, that blind man walked, but he was led to Jesus. And so too we need to understand that we, as we're being led, we walk in the Spirit. In other words, those who are led by the Spirit are walking in the Spirit. And then we have this beautiful statement that Paul tacks on at the end here, verse 18. You are not under the law. Remember that Paul is speaking to the Galatians about this distinction between the law That is, the law as a condemnation, the law as a way in which to earn salvation and the freedom that we have in Christ. He says, you're not under the law. He says, when you're led by the Spirit, you are not under defeat. You are not under bondage. You are no longer under the curse. Again, go back to Romans 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk according to the Spirit. But the no condemnation comes first. We don't walk in the Spirit in order to gain no condemnation. It's because that we are in Christ, we have no condemnation. Therefore, from that place of victory, we walk in victory. That's the proper order of the gospel message. And what is the lesson here for us? It's simply this, that we can't keep the law. We're going to sin. There are going to be casualties. We can't fulfill the demands of the law. But we're no longer under the law when it comes to condemnation. For Christ has taken the power of the law away. And we now have salvation through Him. And what matters in our lives is not that we are perfectly keeping the law. We can't, and Christ has. But what matters is our will. What do you desire to do? I'm not asking you what you actually do, but what do you desire to do? You see, the Christian is going to do what he doesn't desire to do. But the real question is, what do you desire to do? That's where your assurance comes from there. Is your heart changed? Do you desire to love God? Do you desire to do these things even when you continually fail to do them? Is there a conflict in you? Is there a war? If there's not, then something's not right. If you sin with impunity and you don't care, well, then you don't have this conflict. And this conflict is strictly a believer's conflict. But when you have this conflict, I want to remind you not to be discouraged. Because by the very nature of having this conflict, it demonstrates something about you. That the Spirit is working in you to war against the flesh. And that's a great truth, isn't it? We begin talking about a fever in the physical. This fever that is not pleasant at the time, but does its work. It's a war inside your body. Fighting to bring healing. And then comparing that to the Christian life, I think it's an apt picture. We are in a war. It is an internal war. It is a struggle. We have an enemy. This enemy is always with us. Our flesh, our sinful nature. And our sinful nature is always attempting to rid our desires of what we want to do. But what is the Spirit doing? The Spirit is doing the opposite, to rid us of the spiritual virus of sin. Now, we know that in this life, it's not going to be completely eradicated. In fact, this war is going to be difficult. It is going to hurt. It is going to be painful. You may even often feel like you're losing. But I want you to be encouraged. Because the only way that you can lose is if Christ lost, and Christ did not lose. If you're in Christ, the victory is sure. And so remember these things. Even in your darkest times, even as you face the greatest sins, you should take comfort in knowing that there is a war. And the reason that you're in this war is because God is working in you. Unbelievers don't have this war inside them. But remember that you have the Spirit of Christ in you. Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. The Spirit of Christ will have the victory. But also remember this, war, although it's internal, is not eternal. When you have a fever, eventually that fever breaks. It's done its job. We struggle in this life, but at death, we'll be released from all of this. The battle will be over, and we'll have complete victory. That is what we look and long for in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. So I encourage you to keep focused on Him. Keep focused on what He is doing in you. And don't be discouraged. You're in a war. You will face casualties, but be encouraged that God is victorious. Amen. Let us pray. Our God and Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the way in which it informs us of our hearts, shows us who we are. We thank you that you have instructed us of this great war that we face and that we fight every day. We pray that you would give us strength to overcome, that even though our sinful nature is going to raise its head against us, that we might remember that you have instructed us to walk in your Spirit, to be led by your Spirit. We thank you, God, for this great hope, even in the midst of our sin, that you are with us, that you have paid the price in Christ, forgiven us of all of our sin, and will in eternity remove every sin from our lives. And so now, God, be pleased to grant us your grace and your mercy. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.